Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In his autobiography, I'm Most Anxious for My Death, J. Carlton Sharp describes his life's greatest triumphs and trials, sharing the benefit of his experiences. For the context surrounding his life's journey, he describes his family's ancestry, his upbringing by his loving and sometimes strict parents, and his formative childhood memories at the YMCA. Adulthood takes him on the wonderful journey of meeting his devoted wife of 5 decades and raising a family together. Professionally, he learned much from his time in the Army, as well as working at the National Security Agency, a position that led him to a special assignment, leading the evidence analysis team during the Iran-Contra investigation in President Ronald Reagan's White House. Now 80 years old, he looks back on these memories from a vantage point of failing health to often reflect and offer his reflections on the meaning of life. J. Carlton Sharp, author of I'm Most Anxious for My Death, is our guest on This Week in America. JC, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm happy to be with you.
Looking forward to this, and I mentioned this association with Ronald Reagan, just so you think, yeah, this is really true. If you look at the video of the interview, which we posted on YouTube, you've got a picture there with Ronald Reagan in the White House. We'll talk about that in a few seconds here. What an amazing career that you've had, all started with the upbringing that we'll talk about. But before we go any further, I want to talk about the title. The title of the book, yes, will capture your attention, I'm Most Anxious for My Death. Talk about that title, how you came up with that, and what kind of feedback you're getting for that title.
Well, I actually chose that to be an eye-stopper for people that are going through bookstores and malls and that thing, and I've done quite well with that purchasing in that area. It was just a shot in the tail. I didn't have any other reason for it, just to gather a person's eyesight when they go right by it.
What was the reaction like of family and friends? You say, hey, I'm writing this book, another book, and we'll talk about the others here in a second. I'm writing another book, sort of a reflection on my life. Oh, what's the title? I'm anxious, most anxious, not just anxious, most anxious for my death. What kind of response do you get from family?
Just a look and a smile. They know, they never know what to expect from me.
Well, I guess that's interesting. J. Carlton Sharp, our guest on the program, his website and all of his books available at jcarltonsharp.com, book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Let's talk about how this whole writing thing began for you, and then we'll get into your life. Talk about this and where this came from and how you would go upstairs to write and you could spend hours up there. Your wife would wonder what happened with you. Where did this all begin, all this writing for you?
Probably about 10 to 12 years ago, something caught my eye on one of the books that I wrote, and I decided, I think it was on the Barns of Southern Maryland, and that was the first book that I have had completed. It really did well with the book people, and it's been incorporated into the Maryland State Archives for depth research and historical discoveries as early as the 1800s. So, and I got a very nice letter back from the governor saying that it has a place behind his chair in the cabinet.
Fascinating,
books.
Yes. You know, that is an award-winning book, as you mentioned. You started that, and then you wrote a couple of other books. Talk about those, the fascinating autobiography of J. Carlton Sharp, and then one on the family genealogical chain. Talk about those two, because those both did very well also.
First one was my autobiography.
Yes.
I just wanted to get it out there so people knew who I was, what my background was. I love to write, and it took off quite well. I went all the way back to 1223 to the Archbishop James Sharp, who was the Archbishop of Peeblesshire, Scotland.
Mm.
And that's where I traced my family back to in the 1200s was Peeblesshire, Scotland.
So, that's fascinating. Would you recommend people go back and look at the family tree. I sense the excitement as you're talking about that, going back and laying all of this out. And so many of us say, boy, at some point we should do that. Would you recommend that we do that? Boy, that fills in a lot of the void, doesn't it? And where we were, how I got here, how my family got here.
Absolutely. Ancestry.com is the most helpful place to start looking. And you can go back as far as you want to go. It's only a matter of your choice, whether you want to just go back two generations and quit, or go all the way back until you can't go any further. So it's a matter of personal choice.
Well, yes, and speaking of that, Ancestry is a great place, and a lot of their information comes from Fort Wayne, from the public library there in their genealogical section that's world-renowned. People come in there and spend days going to the library and going back. And I say that because we were based there before we moved to Florida. We worked out of the library at Fort Wayne, Indiana. A lot of great information there. And everybody, all of these places we talked about, very helpful in getting you through all of this. What was it like in putting that together? How surprised were you at some of the findings when you were going back and tracing your ancestry?
It was fascinating. I advise anybody that wants to find out where they're about and what they're doing, they can go back. I found that my father and his brother, which is my uncle, were famous West Virginia moonshine travelers.
Ah.
They delivered across all of West Virginia, and my dad had a souped-up car, and any time the police started after them, they knew more dirt roads in West Virginia than anybody. And he would pull a cord on the dashboard, the bottom of the muffler would open up, blowing dust back to where they had to stop. Nobody behind them could trace them. They just laughed and smiled, had a beer, and went up another trail.
Dad was a rascal, you find out. I mean, that's amazing as you go back and you piece all of this together. With us on the program is J. Carlton Sharp. That's from his autobiography, The Fascinating Autobiography of J. Carlton Sharp. The book we're talking about, the newest, I'm Most Anxious for My Death. And in this, you go back over your life and some reflection as well. Let's talk about growing up. You just mentioned the story with your father there. What was growing up like? I get the impression you enjoyed school and you were a hard worker and your parents were strict with you.
Yes, I was an only child in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And actually, I was raised by the YMCA. My mother worked full-time at the Bethlehem Globe Times newspaper company, and my father was the manager of the Western Union Telegraph Company. Fortunately for me, I only had a three-block walk from my house to both elementary schools, high school, and to the YMCA. And so that was my circle of upbringing for most of the part.
It was a good upbringing. Obviously, you made a lot of friends there and learned a lot and helped shape you as a young man. The career started out at what, the Western Union? Tell that story there. And you got a great story with a lady there who was a typist at the Western Union.
She was in her late 50s, I believe. Her name was Helen, I believe Kibler was the last name. But she only had three fingers on her right hand, and she got on the line to Philadelphia. That's the only where we could transmit to for telegraph messages in and out was Philadelphia. And when she got on there with three fingers, I'll tell you what, she was typing over 102 words a minute, and they knew immediately when the key came on, it was going to be a fast taker. So they had to get their best transcribers. Sometimes two and three of them to pick up where one would stop off. But she was just a phenomenal person. But yet she was the mother of a mother, which means she was looking over my shoulder every time to see if I could be helped. And I, I bless her for that.
Well, that all of this comes to life in JC's book, J. Carlton Sharp. The book we're talking about is I'm Most Anxious for My Death. Look back at where he came from, how he got to where he is today. And part of the story is the Willow Park swimming pool where you met your wife. Talk about that. And it sounds like almost one of those from the very beginning, you knew this was going to be more than just a casual relationship.
I really did. When we, I got off of work, I would go directly to the swimming pool, and Louise was in charge of the ladies' changing room. But then she'd get out and come over and lay down next to me and my friend Ed Brook, and she'd start immediately to take my cigarettes, tear them apart, and make a pyramid out of them. Much to my chagrin, I should say that. But I had a 1958 Chevy Impala convertible, which I wish I had now.
It's
worth over 50,000 or more.
Wow.
But that was just a dream. And I would pick her up at the pool and start to take her home, and I'd go about a block, because she only lived two other blocks up, and I'd drop her off the corner instead of taking her to her house. Well, that didn't last very long if I wanted to get very close to this younger lady. So I ended up going right to the door, and I picked her up at the door, not blowing horns like these other kids did. So I wouldn't do that. I was a gentleman. I was taught to do that. Walk up and knock on the door, say hi to the parents, and then open her door to get in the car. Something I don't think anybody today understands or does.
But. Well, no, it's everybody for themselves, but it paid dividends for you, a marriage for how many decades?
We're 57 years.
Wow, that's just incredible with the family and such a life that she was part of as well. You went into the military. Talk about that, and then we'll jump up to the National Security Agency.
Sure, I knew I was going to have to. I asked her parents if it'd be all right to marry her. And her mom said, well, what about your military service? And so I thought about that, and I said, okay. I went down the next day, volunteered for the draft, went down to North Carolina where I did my basic training, then to the Air Force Base in Georgia, where I was assigned to missiles. God knows why, but that didn't last long till I found out I was a typist and was typing over 100 words a minute. So I got sent up to Carlisle Barracks to open up a new communications center for the United States Army school, which is their home base for their secondary education, to put it that way. So that was... That was there, and it was also only about an hour drive up to her house up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So I was very, very lucky. I had come down on orders to go to Korea, but they canceled them when they wanted this new comm center put in place.
And you were
so
part of that.
So fortunate I was.
Well, you certainly were. If you're joining us on This Week in America, our guest is J. Carlton Sharp. He is the author of the book we're talking about, several books, but this is I'm Most Anxious for My Death. J. Carlton Sharp, his website, jcarltonsharp.com. The link's on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Let's talk about the career. And again, on the video, we've got a picture of you with President Ronald Reagan. What, nearly 50 years working for the National Security Agency. Talk about that, culminated with the Iran-Contra, and talk about that as well. That's something that captivated the nation for a while, and you were right there really laying the groundwork by putting this information together for Congress.
Well, I was chosen by both Lieutenant General Lou Allen for NSA and Judge William Webster from CIA jointly picked me. And I guess it was from some interactions that I had with them on very short notice, and I came through with the answers they were looking for. So I got nominated for that, and I was very, very thankful for it. The year assignment with Reagan in the White House was just phenomenal. I spent as much time with the president as I did with Howard Baker, chief of staff.
Oh, Senator from Tennessee, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. Howard Baker, what a fantastic gentleman he was. But I ended up leading the evidence analysis team during the Iran-Contra investigation. And then I had a lot of academic work to do. I spent 10 years at night school at the University of Maryland for a bachelor's degree, which was 3.8 average. And then I turned around in 3 more years at night school for a master's from Central Michigan University. And all the while, while that was going on, I was putting in 46 hours a week with the NSA. So study time started at 3:30 every morning.
Wow, that's just such a remarkable story. And the people you had the opportunity to work with and being there in the White House, sort of the backdrop as you were putting this together, how long did this assignment last you and how many documents did you have to go through?
The assignment lasted 13 months. I had a team of 23 people, usually 2 to 3 from each of the major agencies, the DIA, CIA, FBI, you know, all of the major players in the Washington area. And it did run 13 months. We went through 256,000 documents.
Amazing.
And when we were finished, they occupied 13 4-drawer safes. It was some long days there. In fact, we actually, a few of us slept overnight in the White House rooms that had leather couches in them.
Oh,
and
okay.
And got permission from the Secret Service to make sure we were doing everything right. And so we'd just sleep overnight instead of, because that would knock off 2 hours of travel, an hour
oh,
down,
yes.
an hour back. So that was a great help for them to allow that.
What was it like seeing history inside? Or did you even, because you're doing your job, maybe not even reflect on it until it was over, that they are using what your labor to go through and hold these hearings and make some type of determination? What was that like to be there? I mean, you were literally part of history.
We started out in there, but we increased in personnel by about 7 more people, and then they moved us down to the new White House, or the White House extension, which was not on Pennsylvania, but I think 17th Street, down about a block from the White House itself. And then we did, at least we had underground parking, which was very nice,
yep, yes.
especially in that area. But we did the 256,000 documents, and it was a 13-month effort because they were going to put all of our results on television, national television, for in June of that year. I can't think of the year when we finally finished, but it did appear on there. Howard Baker was very kind to us with opening remarks. And at one of the breaks, they were looking for a document, and the committee said the White House failed to deliver it. And we found it, and we sent a courier over to get it from the archives. And it was delivered to them after the lunch break, and they came up on. First words were, "We wish to apologize for the people that are working on the supplies of our information."
Interesting.
Which I thought was very, very nice of them.
Well, yeah, what was the mood like there? Because this is a national issue. You've got people on both sides of the aisle that are looking for a particular outcome. Do you go through any pressure? Did you feel any you were being guided in any particular case, or just were able to maintain that objectivity?
We actually maintained not only the objectivity, but the pride that we were doing something.
Yes.
We had nothing to complain about. So it really worked out well for us, and we were able to meet the deadline for the June televised hearings on that.
And if you can remember back to Iran-Contra, and you had Oliver North center stage on that, and so many of the personalities from that era of the news, it's a fascinating part of JC's book, J. Carlton Sharp. It's in the book, I'm Most Anxious for My Death. Time is going by so quickly. His website, by the way, information on this and the other books at jcarltonsharp.com. Let's talk about looking back and reflecting on your life. What was it like for you to go back and for this book and the autobiography to sort of piece all of this together? Is that something you'd recommend we all do, to go back and pause and reflect and appreciate what we've been through?
I was fortunate in the fact that before I ever started anything like this, I wanted to go back and trace my family history, where I came from, and know everything about it. And then I came forward with that information, including everything about my parents. I was the only child. They had lost an older sister in a snowstorm accident. But I was very fortunate to be at the right place at the right time with the right credentials. And that's the only way I could describe it. But it was absolutely fascinating. Go ahead. I was going to say I'd catch the 5 o'clock train from New Carrollton, Maryland, down to the White House. It's about a block and a half walk from there. But coming home at night a lot of times is after 10, 11 o'clock.
Just amazing. I'm packing up and going to lunch at the White House. It's still hard to understand that. And such a great life and the experiences that come alive in JC's book. A few minutes left in the program. One of the reasons you wanted to do this was the vantage point of failing health. What's it like at this point in your life and to have those memories and to go back and smile and think about how fortunate you have been to have the life that you've led?
Anytime I go back mentally or even orally, when people come in and they see the picture of Ronald Reagan and I in his office, they would open up the conversation. And I just relish the fact of being able to repeat it the way it was. But it was an opportunity in life I would never want to miss. He was one of the most interesting people. And no front on him. He would come in, and if he had a break for maybe a half an hour or so, and BS with us. You know, how you guys doing? What's going on? Hey, again, we thank you for your help. I mean, the most friendly, down-to-earth person I have ever met that was in any place of authority.
Well, and again, the picture with the President Reagan and JC on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is I'm Most Anxious for My Death. What do you hope people take away from this book when they read this book? What do you hope they get from it?
Just a better understanding of who I am and where I started in life all the way through to my final years in retirement. I've gone pretty much from a young teenager to an 80-year-old, still breathing person.
Well, and you have as I'm reading this, the quote, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer to the end, the faster it goes. That is so true. That is so true of the case. But to be able to look back with a smile on your face of where you've been through. And if you think, well, JC was in Washington. His days were spent going back and forth to the White House. That was exciting. But how many foreign countries did you get a chance to visit?
I have been to 78 nations.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've kept track of them. I think the only thing that scared me more than anything, and it's the same today, that when people check in at airlines, there is no do not fly list maintained anywhere in the aviation system. You know, these would be people that are known criminals or people that have been on a flight and wrecked the whole damn plane. They don't have it, and they don't share it. Because they don't have it. That was my biggest complaint.
Now it should be. Was not even aware of that. We just sort of hop on and thinking the government's going to take care of us and the world, aviation industry is going to take care of us. But imagine traveling to 78 different countries. A minute or so left here. What are you working on now? What's next for you?
I don't really have anything in plans. I'm probably going to write something else, but there's nothing has hit me like these other ones in the past, the four books that I've published, but I am not sitting back and rocking in a chair. I'll continue it.
Well, stay busy. You sound in excellent shape and very enthusiastic about the books and all of them of JC. You'll find it at his website, jcarltonsharp.com. Of course, Amazon, the usual places. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on, get all the information on JC and order all the books there as well. JC, a pleasure having you on the program. Some great stories that you were able to share with us here today. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do this again. And once you get working on a new book, let me know. And I think a travelogue of all 78 countries would be a fascinating read. I don't think I can name 78 countries without having a globe in front of me. So that would be fascinating. Thank you. This has been fun. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. I hope you have a great weekend.
You as well. I'm most anxious for my death. You won't forget that title by our guest, Jay Carlton Sharp. Book available at Amazon, all the usual places, and of course his website, jcarltonsharp.com, and on our website as well, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.